Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. I want to thank all of those of you that joined us for the annual Spring Freedom Banquet of the Ohio Christian Alliance at the Akron Fairlawn Hilton last week with Chad Connolly, former RNC Faith Outreach Director, and of course Bill Fetter from the American Minute. We had a great time together. There was a candidate meet and greet, a good crowd that came, and just a good time had by all. And of course, we'll have these events from time to time. You always want to check out the Ohio Christian Alliance website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. In fact, the primary election is coming up on May 8th, and we have some educational resources for you to review some of the candidates. We have surveyed the statewide candidates, the U.S. Senate, congressional races, Ohio House and Ohio Senate, and we have some voter guides covering the U.S. Senate primary, the governor's race, and some congressional districts. You'll want to check that out at our website at ohioca.org. The Ohio Christian Alliance is a nonprofit grassroots organization. We do not endorse any particular party or candidate, but provide this information for educational purposes only. And today we want to get into it right away because there's breaking news, of course, in Washington, D.C., as President Trump has announced Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo, who has gone through the committee process and narrowly passed committee yesterday and is being considered on the Senate floor for consideration. Mike Pompeo is exceptionally qualified for this position, and he has served in the U.S. government and obviously the U.S. military, and he's an outstanding, excellent individual who will serve well in the State Department as our Secretary of State. But unfortunately, the partisanship that's going on in Washington right now is making it a questionable matter as to how he'll proceed as far as the confirmation. With us on the phone is Claire Lopez. She is Vice President of Research for Analysts with the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C. That is Frank Gaffney's group. And, of course, Claire actually is from Cleveland, Ohio originally, but she has spoken across the country, and her credits are listed on the website, and we're going to give that a little later in the program. Claire, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Chris. I'm really glad to be with you.
Well, thank you. I've actually had the opportunity and privilege to hear you at several events. I don't think we've actually met personally, but I followed your career and appreciate all that you do through the Center for Security Policy. And Fred Flights, who's been on our program, as well as Frank Gaffney, speak very well of you. And so we want to really get right after it, because I understand that you've been looking at the North Korean situation, and there is breaking news there as well. As in the news today, it looks as if their nuclear test site has collapsed and is actually vulnerable to emitting radioactive material that will be a problem for the region. What do we know about this, Claire?
Gee, I wonder what Kim Jong-un and the ruler of China, Xi Jinping, discussed when Kim Jong-un took that train trip to Beijing a few weeks ago. Could it possibly have been, you get a hold of what's going on at that mountain and shut that thing down before any more radiation escapes over the border into China? Let's offer that as a concession to the Americans. They'll never know, and they'll think we're being generous. Yeah. There you go.
Well, that's an interesting twist to this, because obviously we were going to commend the President Trump and his team, obviously, for reaching out to North Korea, as all of his predecessors of the administrations have not been able to bring the North Koreans to the table. And there did seem to be somewhat of an olive branch during the Winter Games, the Olympics a few months ago. But again, a very awkward and uneasy environment for the vice president to be there with members of Kim Jong-un's family. Yet it looked as if the South was making extension to the North and vice versa. What are we to make of all of that, in your opinion?
Well, for one thing, why on earth would anybody want North Korea at a negotiating table? They're not going to tell the truth. They are not independent actors. Think of it this way. Kim Jong-un is younger brother. Elder brother is Xi Jinping of China. It is China that is pulling the strings here. China is in charge. Beijing is in charge, not Pyongyang. And China will never, ever, in a million years, allow the Kim dynasty, Pyongyang, to give up willingly its nuclear weapons. It's just not going to happen because North Korea serves as a bulwark and a barrier between communist China and the free, westward-looking, United States-backed South Korea. South Korea is very close to China, of course, but doesn't touch its border. North Korea does. The Chinese don't want that to change. They don't want that situation to change. They're never going to let Kim Jong-un give up his nukes. And so I have really not understood why you would want to seek diplomacy anymore or any kind of talks whatsoever with the North Koreans. I think that's kind of silly. We know what their purposes are. We know what the Chinese purposes are. We know that North Korea, for example, has deliverable nuclear weapons with ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, that can reach the entire continental United States right now. We know that Kim Jong-un has what's called EMP technology. That's electromagnetic pulse technology, a small-sized nuclear warhead on top of one of those ballistic missiles that explodes in the high atmosphere above a target place like the United States. And because the United States electric grid, our civilian electric grid, is completely and totally unprotected from the effects of an EMP, which, by the way, can also be generated by the sun with a solar flare, same effect, our electric system, our entire electric grid, if such a thing happened, would go down. It would cascade down in a matter of moments. And the United States would be without electricity. That means without water, without food, without transportation, without banking, without fuel, without medical services, etc. Kim Jong-un has that right now.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate.
He has that capability.
I'm going to play devil's advocate with you a little bit, Claire, because I heard a gentleman on the news channels on the weekend basically prognosticating the same kind of thing. And, of course, we do know that that is a serious problem of the national grid. And I've had Mr. Murray on this program, Congressman Johnson, other experts to talk about, obviously, the energy issues of, a number of sources that provide energy to the grid, you know, obviously Obama's war on coal and all that. And then, of course, the vulnerability of the grid. So I agree with you on that point. But at the same time as well, I know that they look a lot of those models of what happened 150 years ago with a large solar flare. The technology at the time, of course, was Morse code, and it was the telegraph system. But as one expert also stated, that there was no checks in that wiring. It was, you know, it went for miles with the, you know, so it was able to conduct. The flare was able to conduct over the cable, and so we have a lot of checks and balances in the grid. Certainly, there would be a lot of disruption. There's possible destruction, but it would also mean, for instance, in a solar flare, it would have to be directly over the continental United States. That could be affected anywhere around the globe, and it would be a variation of what might actually happen. But an EMP attack, as you suggest, by North Korea, it would have to come over the pole. That's why the intercontinental ballistic missiles obviously are hard to shoot down, if not impossible. We don't know if we have the technology or not. Obviously, the Pentagon is not going to let us know that, or our security forces, as to what we may or may not have at this point. This is obviously, you know, a serious issue. The Obama administration, the 8 years during the Obama administration, they did not take these threats seriously. Has there been a change in Washington? Is there more of a discussion now among the security teams, both in Congress and in the military and throughout security services, taking this threat seriously?
Unfortunately, no. I'm hoping that perhaps the interview you watched over the weekend might possibly have been with a good friend and one of this country's premier experts on EMP and the electric grid, Dr. Peter Pry speaking with Mark Levin, perhaps?
Yes.
It was an hour-long program this past Sunday. And Peter is just so eloquent and expert in these topics. And he spoke with Mark Levin. I think you might be able to find that online now, but do check, because it's well worth listening to that interview. But in a word, no, things have not improved. In fact, as Peter described in that interview a few days ago, not only has the Trump administration not actually addressed this threat yet, although we will give credit where credit is due that mention of the EMP as a national security threat was included in the Trump administration's first national security strategy paper just put out some months ago. That was mentioned, but not addressed. And worse than that, the EMP commission, of which Dr. Peter Pry, as well as others like Dr. William Graham and others have been unpaid members toiling for free for the last 17 years with zero funding from Congress or anyone else, they shut the commission down. They closed it. They shut it down. So now we don't even have an EMP commission and these experts to look at the issue. But yes, the United States civilian grid is unprotected. Here and there, there might be some measures beginning to be taken, and we're hopeful at least at the state level. States like Texas, which, by the way, is a separate grid. There are three grids interconnected in the United States, the Eastern Grid, the Western Grid, and Texas. Texas is taking things seriously, working on it, not there yet. Wyoming is another state headed in the right direction to implement its own protections. But what would happen, because all of our grids, as well as Canada's, are interlinked, there would be a cascade effect. Wherever the EMP effect, this hypercharged stream of gamma rays that an EMP explosion, this being nuclear, well, or a solar flare, would send to the Earth, wherever that would strike as the center, would cause an outward concentric circle, expanding concentric circle set of failures, a cascade effect. And it would not necessarily come over the North Pole. And let me explain this as well. During the Cold War, when we expected or thought that the Soviet Union at the time might launch a surprise nuclear attack at the United States, we in Canada joined together in the defense called NORAD. We have in the United States NORTHCOM, the military command for the northern defense. But that all points north. It points north and west, because that's where we thought the attack, if ever, could come from. Well, we addressed but did not fix the fact that coming up at us from a south polar trajectory called the fractional orbital bombardment system with the Soviets would come up towards the Gulf of Mexico and the eastern Atlantic coast, where we have zero, absolutely zero radar or land-based missile defense, none. So the North Koreans know this. And how do we know they know this? Because the North Koreans have two satellites in orbit above the United States and the rest of North America that cross our territory, our country, every single day. There are two. One went up in 2012. One went up in 2016. They are at an altitude and an attitude of orbit that lends itself to an EMP. We don't know what's in the satellites. Or at least open source, we do not know what's in them. If it could be, possibly, an EMP on board, that can be detonated remotely by satellite. And, oh, by the way, those satellites come up at us out of the south. North Korea knows our vulnerability. So does everybody else. This isn't classified information. Comes up at us from the south every single day, two North Korean satellites orbiting the United States, and we don't know what's in them.
We're talking with Claire Lopez. She is the Vice President of Research and Analysis at the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C. Claire, I want to turn the table here a little bit. Obviously, we have a very fine nominee to the Secretary of State. I wasn't a fan of Tillerson. I thought that basically that was some wasted time in the Trump administration. I can't think of one significant accomplishment that was conducted during his tenureship at the Secretary of State. I was happy to see him go, quite honestly. But I think that Mike Pompeo is just the opposite. I think he's a man who understands the importance of the State Department. First of all, it needs to be fully funded and fully staffed. That was one thing that Mr. Tillerson did not do. The Secretary of State, nations need to be talking to themselves at multiple levels of staff. And that's why you need the State Department fully staffed, in my opinion, so the nations can be talking to each other. This is the kind of thing that we need going forward. He talked about that in his confirmation hearings. What is your opinion of Mike Pompeo and how you see the Secretary or this department being run under him?
Well, we at the center here know Mike Pompeo from his days in Congress, have a great deal of respect and liking for him. We think that he's going to make a terrific Secretary of State. We're very much looking forward to that confirmation vote, perhaps just in a day or so later this week. And he's got a big job ahead of him at the State Department. Before fully staffing the State Department, he needs to take a hose to the place. He's got to hose the place out of all the holdovers and those whose thinking and allegiances do not align with the president's. Once the hosing out is done, then he can begin to restaff. Unfortunately, that will take some time, but we've got a lot of confidence in Mike Pompeo and look forward to his partnership and working together as well with the newly appointed National Security Advisor, Ambassador John Bolton.
Yeah, exactly. Another fine choice, Ambassador Bolton. I'm sorry, Secretary Bolton. We think that it is an excellent choice. So we think that the president is making some very wise choices here for these positions. And I agree with you that there does need to be a clearing out at the department. But I think that he's the man to do it. I think that might be also why he's receiving such opposition from the Democrats. You know, in fact, our own Senator Portman was on Fox News today and talking about, you know, this really shouldn't be this hard. When the president nominates their person for the Secretary of State for the department, for instance, John Kerry received 94 votes. Hillary Clinton received 94 votes. You know, looking at the nominees by President Trump and the kind of treatment they're receiving from the Democrats is disgraceful. And I think and I hope that we're going to see some of those who are on the hot seat in elections on the Democratic side of the aisles, people like Joe Manchin and some others, come over and support this nominee. He is worthy of that support. An eye-opener for me was Sam Brownback, a former member of the U.S. Senate. I mean, you talk about Mr. Nice Guy. This is a guy who knew both people on both sides of the aisle. Obviously, there wouldn't be any reason for anybody to have any animus towards Sam Brownback. Yet, he only received confirmation by one single vote. I was stunned. Your thoughts?
Yes, another wonderful appointment. Now, previously Senator Sam Brownback, Ambassador Sam Brownback as well, now heading
International
Committee?
Religious Liberty Ambassador.
Religious Liberty, yes, that's it. Thank you. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful man. You know, why he should get such opposition is due basically to the trench warfare that the opposition, and the opposition is not all about party politics. This is not about Republicans and Democrats either. Mm-hmm. This is about a cadre, a class, an entrenched set of bureaucrats or even elected officials who think alike, no matter what the letter is after their name, think alike, which is not the way the elected president of the United States, Donald Trump, thinks, and it's not why he won. It is not what the people of the United States who elected President Trump, it's not how they think. And so there's a great deal of unhappiness, of course, in that great big red middle part of the country, if you look at those maps.
Yep.
But it's not even about the red and the blue or the purple, whatever. It's about, we elected the president because he stood for these principles. And now this entrenched cadre of bureaucrats, officials, and others are literally fighting trench warfare to do everything and anything they can to turn around the results of the election itself.
It's been referred to as the deep state. It's multifaceted, multi-leveled in Washington, and I think you're right. We're seeing it manifest itself with these nominees that the president has put forward for Secretary of State, as ambassadors, or for important posts throughout his administration, and we're seeing that kind of blowback from the deep state in regard to the president's agenda, which is basically an American first agenda. And it's really his election, I think, was the folks taking back their government, taking back Washington. And we're seeing that. And it's a very painful process, and one in which he knew he had to roll up his sleeves and get gritty. And he's willing to do that. He was the man for the job. We needed that kind of toughness going into the Oval Office and doing what needs to be done. We're talking with Claire Lopez. She is the Vice President of Research and Analysis at the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C. You know, we're going to give you a phone number right now to call. I want you to call Senator Sherrod Brown. Ask him and urge him to vote to confirm Mike Pompeo for Secretary of State. That will be happening in the next day or two. The number to call is 202-224-2315. Again, calling Senator Sherrod Brown's office at 202-224-2315 and urge him to vote yes on the confirmation of Mike Pompeo. Well, Claire, I wanted to talk to you about an historic event that should be taking place in May. Everything on schedule. The president announced late last year that he was moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, and it looks as if in time for the 70th anniversary of Israel's modern existence, he's going to do that and cut the ribbon of the embassy in Jerusalem. I actually was in Israel last month in March and was able to get a look-see at the new embassy, which is the current consulate. It's being upgraded and refitted to be the full-fledged embassy in Israel, in Jerusalem. Your thoughts?
Well, I'll just say I am so excited about this because I will actually be in Jerusalem on that day. On a broader tour of Israel before and after that. So much looking forward to it. It has been law that the United States should move our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem for many years now, but not a single president until President Trump has had the courage to follow through and actually do that. That is now happening. It is right. It is proper. Every country gets to say what its own capital is. Jerusalem has been the one and the only united capital of the people of Israel for thousands of years, going back 3,000 years to King David. And I'm just really pleased to see this will finally be happening again, also on the 70th anniversary of the founding of the modern state of Israel back in 1948, May of 1948. So I just very much looking forward to being among the people of Israel on that momentous occasion.
And we will all be watching as well. Claire, God bless you for the work that you're doing at the Center for Security Policy. And folks, their website is centerforsecuritypolicy.org. And again, look up Claire Lopez and a number of her papers that she writes and the work that she does. Claire, thanks for being my guest. We'll have you back real soon. God bless you.
Thank you much. Thank you.
Thank you. And you want to stay tuned because we're going to be back with Matt Staver, who's going to be talking about a number of legal issues and, of course, Mike Pompeo as well and the treatment he received from the Senate committee because of his Christian beliefs. So you want to stick around for that. Log on to our website at ohioca.org.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus us fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Very good, and we're back, and we're glad that you're with us. And with me on the phone is Matt Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, which is a First Amendment advocate group that defends religious liberty. And they have a action press release they just put out about Mike Pompeo, the President Trump's nominee for the as Secretary of State, in his treatment before the U.S. Senate committee, which has been appalling by some Democratic members who have actually excoriated Mr. Pompeo because of his Christian beliefs. Folks, this is alarming. I mean, when we consider the United States of America that was founded upon religious liberty and our First Amendment rights, when we consider how these nominees are being treated and excoriated on Senate committees in the U.S. House, is really an outrage. And, you know, with us on the phone is Matt Staver, again, chairman of Liberty Council, to talk about this release he put out this afternoon. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
Well, thank you, and thank you for, you know, putting out this information. In fact, we're going to be sending it on to our folks as well. And Senator Cory Booker's treatment of the nominee has just been unforgivable. I mean, this kind of excoriating and just ridicule of Christian beliefs on the committee, is there's no place for that. And, you know, really, it should be shamed into oblivion. And I agree with your point here, is that there should be consideration for him to, one, apologize proficiently, but also possible resignation. I mean, we've already had resignations last year by Al Franken because of his treatment of women with the Me Too movement. But this was people within his own movement and his own party who were pushing him out the door and saying, we don't want you representing us anymore. He was the former senator from the state of Minnesota. This gentleman's conduct in the way in which he's treated Mr. Pompeo, I would equally agree, is appalling. Your thoughts?
I think it is appalling. He needs to apologize or resign. If he or someone else had done something that is clearly racist, like it is anti-religious and bigotry here in his anti-Christian statements, they would have been forced to resign. We can't just simply allow people like this in the United States Senate, where this is televised and it's been repeated around the country and even for people around the world to see, where this United States senator berates a good man, Mike Pompeo, the former director of the CIA with lots of other experience, being nominated for the Secretary of State, and he berates him because of his Christian views. And he belittles him, or tries to, because of his Christian views. And he attacks him because of his belief and understanding and support of marriage as the union of a man and a woman. Tens and tens of millions of people in America believe exactly the same thing. So he has not only berated and demeaned and showed his bigotry against Mike Pompeo for his Christian beliefs, but also against many, many Americans, and including the very founding principles of this country, including the very Constitution that he is sworn to uphold. He needs to apologize and or he needs to resign. Mike Pompeo is a good man. He should be confirmed. You know, with all of the issues that a Secretary of State will face around the world, instead of focusing on those, this Senator Booker made a fool out of himself, and he brought shame to himself and to the United States Senate by berating Mr. Pompeo's Christian faith.
Mr. Pompeo is actually a very accomplished gentleman in his own right. He is the former CIA director. He was already approved by the U.S. Senate to be the CIA director in years previous. He has an illustrious military career, a professional career. He's a man of integrity and great skill. And for him to be treated like this before the Senate committee is an outrage. Folks, it's an outrage if you take it upon yourself to call that Senate committee and let them know that you want them to approve President Trump's nominee for the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. Many people have been saying just how skillful, knowledgeable, and a man of integrity that he is, actually a man who's needed. One of the things I thought that was interesting and important, that he said that I will fill the positions that have been left open from my predecessor, and he's talking about Mr. Trump's first Tillerson, the first Secretary of State nominated. I think he was a gentleman that came in from the business world. He may not have understood the complexities of the State Department. The State Department, of course, it needs the personnel. You need nations to be talking to each other on many levels. That's how crises and problems are averted. If you have staff throughout the Secretaries of State or the State Department's facilities to be able to communicate with nations, this is how we have good standing around the world. So I agree with him that we need to fill these positions. I've talked to a number of people, Matt, over the last year and a half about this kind of challenge and problem. I'm glad that Mr. Trump has nominated Mr. Pompeo. What is your thought and sense now about his approval on the committee? Where are we? In fact, I heard Senator Cotton saying, well, we don't need the Senate committee. The Senate body as a whole is not restricted by the thought of the committee. So even if they turn him down, the whole Senate can pick it up and still confirm him. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close vote on the Senate, because I think obviously you're going to see a number of Democrats do a lockstep vote, which they have been typically doing. And you might actually have a Republican ultimately vote against him, which, you know, we'll see what happens. But we don't need the Senate committee. He already has gone through the Senate committee, already has been approved by that Senate committee, approved by the United States Senate as director of the CIA. So that is a very important, critical position.
I see somebody like Joe Manchin, who's in a very tight race down there in West Virginia. He's going to have to vote for this nominee. If he does that, he could just kiss goodbye his seat.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he might jump ship, and he's the most likely Democrat to jump ship from that Democratic lockstep that they've been doing since President Trump has been the president of the United States. But he's one of those who might just actually bail on the Democratic caucus there. And then, you know, if there's not a unanimous or there's not a majority vote in the Senate committee, we don't need the Senate committee, because the president of the Senate can put it up for vote with the full Senate. And I think he deserves that full vote of the United States Senate. He already has had a full vote just, you know, within the last year of the United States Senate that ultimately confirmed him as director of the CIA. So he's back again for a different position. He's highly qualified, as you already mentioned, and I think that he'll pass when he gets to the United States Senate.
Well, with us on the phone is Matt Staver, again, the chairman of Liberty Council, an organization that we, of course, at the Ohio Christian Alliance have depended on for over the years to give us this kind of key information on legal matters. And much is going on in Washington right now, Matt. In fact, our folks on the ground here in Ohio, grassroots folks, are actually quite concerned when we saw the president's own personal attorney's offices raided by the FBI office in Manhattan. The same office, by the way, that sat on their hands during the Clinton Foundation investigation and during her trouble with her personal server that was in violation of federal law. They sat on their hands. They conducted no raids at that time. Yet when it comes to the president's personal attorney, this quite honestly, KGB type tactic in the middle, early in the morning at four of his locations, is his apartment, his offices, and his home. You know, it was former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich who said it was a KGB-type tactic. I mean, it's alarming and scary to a lot of us out here because we think about attorney-client privilege and privacy of what our First Amendment, our constitutional rights, we're seeing them eroded in front of our eyes. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we are. I think it's outrageous, and it shows the depths of the deep state. You know, President Donald Trump, when he ran for office, said he wanted to drain the swamp, and that's what he's been trying to do. I think, unfortunately, what we are seeing is the swamp is worse than we even thought it was. And it's deep embedded into the FBI and into parts of the Department of Justice, even into the Department of State. And there's lots of these career people that think that they're going to run the country, no matter who is elected, no matter what the people say as the Democratic vote. And this here, whenever you raid someone like this in an early morning dawn raid, and you're doing it against an attorney, scooping up attorney-client privileges with individuals who have nothing to do with what the raid was allegedly about, that is an extraordinary, very heavy-handed, it is a very militaristic, third-world kind of KGB kind of approach. And we're seeing that happen in the United States of America. And yet the same FBI with the former director, James Comey, you can see how some of those individuals, Peter Strzok, his other lover that he is texting back and forth with, Mr. Orr, and now you have James Comey, you can see the level of hatred that they have for conservatives, people of Judeo-Christian values, pro-lifers, Christians, and obviously President Donald Trump. And so they're doing everything in their power to ultimately undermine the President of the United States and, frankly, the people's vote. I think it is shocking. I think that this special counsel investigation has gone way off the rails. They haven't found anything, otherwise they would have done something regarding so-called Russian collusion, which is not a crime anyway. There is no such thing as saying this is a crime to collude with Russia. To investigate, to even assign a special counsel to investigate, you have to investigate a specific crime. There is no crime called or even suggesting that collusion is a crime. And so the very premise of this and then where it's going, and the heavy-handed tactics, and when they haven't found anything anyway, and then when they don't go after Hillary Clinton for clear information that she was behind the dossier, that she funded it, that they presented, even now James Comey says, uncooperated information to the special FISA court. To this day, it's not corroborated. And then from all of that, you have this heavy-handed raid on President Trump's personal attorney. It is outrageous. It's incomprehensible, frankly, that this is happening in the United States of America.
Well, that's right. We're talking with Matt Staver, again, the chairman of Liberty Counsel. We're talking about the legal challenges we see to our Constitution and our balance of powers. You know, Matt, when I looked at the federal judge, obviously, that they went to in New York for the appeal of getting the documents back. We're talking about this attorney. He had his files taken away. I mean, you as an attorney, you can imagine if they raided the offices of the Liberty Counsel and took all your documents and all everything you're working on. I mean, I don't know if the general public understand the complexity and the challenge to all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you, as an attorney, you've got dates and you've got times and you've got places, you've got things you have to respond to, and when your files are completely taken like that, and there's attorney-client privilege information in there, I mean, we have the attorney-client privilege for a reason, to protect the confidential communications between an attorney and the client, and it's there and it's been longstanding, and we need to respect that. But here, when that is violated, and also when information in your file, when you don't have it there and you don't know what it is that is the next step you're supposed to respond to, your malpractice, your professional ability to work as an attorney is literally put in jeopardy because you're now, you know, the client, you're supposed to still represent the client. How can you continue to represent the client properly when you don't have the information in the client's file? You can't. So this is a real serious intrusion. That's why you almost never see this. Maybe in a rare situation, you might see it in the case of real information over longstanding time where the mafia attorney has become part of the actual mafia itself and is no longer just representing the
well,
client.
And
that's not the case.
When doesn't cooperate and obstructs kind of what the FBI,
right.
Justice Department's been doing is obstructing not Congress and not giving him files, but
exactly.
Mr. Cohen was cooperating with the feds. He was communicating. He was cooperating. There was no need for this thuggery raid. I don't understand it, Matt.
The president has been cooperating with lots of documents that they've been requesting. Michael Cohen was cooperating. It wasn't like he was resisting. It wasn't like he was a flight risk. He's not going anywhere. And yet, at the same time, guess who is stonewalling? It is Rod Rosenstein.
Yes.
And it's the FBI. You know, the FBI couldn't find Peter Strzok's text messages. That they're lost. Well, the inspector general found them, and the FBI couldn't. Peter Strzok has had these subpoenas outstanding for months by the Congress and hasn't responded to them. Why has he not responded to them? What is it in there that he does not want to reveal?
Right.
So, you know, they're the ones that are obstructing justice and dragging their feet, not Michael Cohen. And they had no business doing what they did to him. I think everyone in America ought to be outraged over this.
Absolutely. And Lisa Page was Peter Strzok's, you know, love interest there.
Right.
And they both work at the Justice Department, the FBI.
They still work there.
And they were obviously Clinton supporters. It was evident. It was made known in the text messages. And they felt that they had to save the country from Donald Trump. When you do that, that's when you're shown the door. But because of the bureaucratic level of their protection, they still have security clearance. Most people are pulling their hair out. They can't understand that. How these people that jeopardized and compromised their positions of authority still have security clearance. How is that happening?
I don't know. I think that, you know, the president can do certain things. And yet at the same time, I think a lot of people just need to be cleaned out. And he's doing what he can to clean out the swamp. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is the swamp is worse. And, you know, when James Comey came out with this book, and he says the things that he says, and he now admits that he's done things based upon political polls with regards to Hillary Clinton,
yep.
That he hasn't corroborated the document that they presented to the FISA court, that they never told the court, and they never told President Trump when he met with him that this was a document financed by Hillary Clinton. And although he's never corroborated it, even he said this in his interview, now he says, well, maybe some of it is true. We don't know. And this is not becoming of the top investigative agency of the United States of America,
right.
Federal Bureau of Investigation. If they're going to treat the president this way, and they're going to think that way out loud on national television and write books about what they really think, the hatred that they think about President Donald Trump, you know, his wife and his kids were all supporters of Hillary. They attended the women's so-called march, which was a pro-abortion march, in protesting the part of the resistance movement, the Comeys are. This is the guy who's supposed to be a neutral. He can have his views, but don't let him cloud or sneak into your law enforcement or your objective investigation. And unfortunately, that's exactly what has happened with him, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, and so many others in the FBI and the DOJ. And now they're still, even though President Trump won the election, they're still using those engines of power to persecute President Trump and go after him for unsubstantiated claims and anyone associated with him, like his personal lawyer, like some of these other individuals that there's nothing that they found in them regarding so-called Russian interference with the elections. So they try to get them in a meeting, get them to say one thing, and try to twist it so they can go after them for other things that are completely unrelated. It is outrageous, and you know, the sooner this gets cleaned up, the better, because if they're going to do this to the President of the United States and anyone that's associated with him, imagine what they'll do to you and me. We don't have the platform or the ability to fight back, like, say, the president does or some other people, and frankly, other people are losing their homes You know, Michael Flynn is losing his home. He's financing his home to pay the legal bills.
For his legal bills, right.
And guess who was the person who interviewed him? Peter Strzok, who hated him or anything associated with President Trump. It's a cycle that you would think, and you know, they're saying, well, Russia colluded in the elections, how terrible that is, and certainly if that were, or they try to influence the elections, how terrible it is. But yet, this is the kind of thing that is in the former KGB mentality. This is what would happen there, where they would use the force of government to crush individuals to the point of oblivion, and you would have no ability to fight back.
This is what's so disconcerting and alarming to so many of us, Matt, is because we're looking at two different levels of law, the law that we all have to abide by and honor. And then there's a different level for those at the Justice Department, higher levels of government. It doesn't apply to them. Hillary Clinton. This Andrew McCabe lied 3 times to the FBI, as documented now. Martha Stewart went to prison for lying to the FBI. She served time.
Guess who was part of that investigation? James Comey with Martha Stewart. James Comey. So James Comey has lied, and Andrew McCabe has lied. The Inspector General has come out and said he's lied multiple times. Why doesn't the department, why don't they come after Andrew McCabe for the same kind of thing that they put Martha Stewart away for?
Why is our good friend Jeff Sessions, an honorable man, the first thing he did when he got there was to recuse himself? And I do think he should have informed the president that in the event that that comes up, I'm going to have to recuse myself. Then the president could have chosen somebody else. What now can he do? I don't think he needs to keep recusing himself or broadening his own recusal in matters to these things. Why is he sitting on his hands, Matt? What's going on?
I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. He is a good man, but I certainly wish that he would be more aggressive on some of these things. He recused himself. I didn't think he had to, first of all.
Right.
I think it was premature to do that, number one. Number two, he recused himself regarding the issue of Russian alleged intervention in the election. But that has nothing to do, as you know, they've not found anything. And that has nothing to do with Hillary Clinton's emails or Peter Strzok or Andrew McCabe lying or the FISA issue. There's lots of other things where this special counsel thing went way beyond looking at this issue.
They always do, though. That's the nature of a special counsel.
And he has no potential reason to not be involved in there. He ought to reinsert himself in that because Rod Rosenstein doesn't have any business overseeing it. We already know he's been involved, and he doesn't have clean hands himself. If anybody ought to recuse, it's Mueller, who was involved in the Uranium One with Clinton.
Yes.
And also Peter, Rod Rosenstein. He was involved in repeatedly presenting undocumented dossier to the FISA court regarding that ultimately started their surveillance of people associated with President Donald Trump.
All right. We've covered the problem of where we're at to date. And thank you for covering and answering a lot of our questions here, Matt. We're talking with Matt Staver, chairman of Liberty Counsel. But Matt, I think what's curious right now is the inspector general. What's very curious and what's been interesting there, where there's been other leaks out of the Justice Department when it's been about the memo or the request of files and these kinds of things. There's been no leaks from the inspector general's report. He started to deliver his account. I think that's actually a good sign that he's got that locked down. They don't know what's in it. And I say if Rod Rosenstein is implicated in that report, that's when he should be fired. And then
that's
a new assistant secretary of state attorney general needs to be appointed. And at that point, maybe we can start getting down to the business of justice in this country again. Your thoughts?
You know, I agree. The Inspector General has done a superb job. He has not made public comments. And guess what? There has not been one single leak. You know what's been happening with Mueller? We've had leak after leak after leak after leak. We know allegedly what they're doing, who they're interviewing, what their next step is before it actually happens. The FBI was intentionally leaking things. Andrew McCabe intentionally leaked and James Comey intentionally leaked his memo so that a special counsel could be appointed. And guess what? His friend, Rod Rosenstein, appointed a special counsel because of Comey's leaked memo. So the Inspector General, I think, is doing a great job. I think that I'm anticipating a report that's going to be pretty startling regarding the Inspector General's thorough review of the issues surrounding Rod Rosenstein and some of these other issues that we've been talking about. I think that's the way these government agencies ought to operate. They can have their own personal views, but they ought to just stick to the law and stick to the facts and present them as they are and let the chips fall where they may. And unfortunately, we've got and we've seen too many that either ignore the facts or they try to distort the facts and they use the force of their agency to persecute people.
Well, my guest has been Matt Staver, who is the chairman of Liberty Counsel. You can find them on the web at lc.org, and they are great when it comes to advocating for religious liberty. There are so many ways in which you help us out in the Christian community and with our First Amendment rights. Thank you, Matt. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Thank you. We're going to have Matt here to Northeast Ohio. We'll work that out in the future. And I know that just from today's interview that you are interested as much as I am. But again, you can follow their work at lc.org. If you've missed any of today's program, you could always catch it in its entirety at the Ohio Christian Alliance website. Just Google Ohio Christian Alliance or go to ohioca.org. If you like what you're hearing in this program, you'd like to contribute to the ongoing work of News in Focus. We come to you each week at the same time. You can make a contribution online, again, at our website at ohioca.org or just Google Ohio Christian Alliance. Thank you so much for listening and God bless. Good night.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.